I get to do the dentistry I do now and practice in the way I practice now because I went through a period of time where I hustled, I grinded, I took more CE than anybody else I knew. I stayed late. I got there early. I was willing to put in the work to do that. So I think that has to be the mentality of what you come into the practice with.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Hope you're having a great day. Super fun episode today. We're going to talk about, I'm on this associate doctor owner-doctor conversation. So we're going to have a good conversation about it today, and I just think it's an important topic. So we're going to talk about what to look for as a new grad, and we're going to talk about, or just an associate in general, and then, you know, what questions to ask, what not questions to ask. I think it'll be a very productive podcast for people looking to hire or people looking for a job. All right. Remember, this podcast is sponsored by myself and 3D Dentist. And so we'd love for you to come support our courses next year in 2024, 3D-dentist.com, online content, other good content. And yeah, we'll do some new doctor discounts. If you're a new doctor and you need some clinical training and want some training, give us a call. So actually part of this conversation happened because I just had a dentist that's a senior come in, and she wanted to wanted to interview and have a conversation. And I wanted to talk to her about one, I always like to keep my eyes open. I think that's a very important point to make, is that, when it comes to hiring anybody, I'm always willing to take a conversation. You just never know. You never know if someone's going to be just the right fit at the right time. You never know if someone's going to, you know, I mean, I got Sarah could fall in love with Douglas and they could move somewhere else. You know, you just never know what's going to happen as far as the people you got. So I always like to kind of keep an eye open. So that's kind of rule number one. And then the second part of it is like, well, what do you look for? What questions do you ask, et cetera? So, and I thought this was a great question that she asked was, she asked, you know, what questions, if you were me, would you be asking? So we'll kind of break this down into a couple different areas. But I said the first and foremost I would ask is, I would want to know what is kind of the environment that I'm going into from a standpoint of like, what is my pathway to success? And we've kind of formalized this into what we have like an associate success path in our office, where I want to be able to have some sort of guideline or roadmap to what success looks like. So we start walking around the office and I'm giving her a tour, talking about different things. And, you know, you start to realize some of the things that they aren't getting the training at in hygiene, or that would be very abnormal or unusual. So let me kind of go through them. Well, one is CEREC, right? So at our office, Sullivan Dental Partners, CEREC is a fundamental thing you've got to learn within your first, you know, really 30 days, if not 60 days, because that's the way we practice. All our general dentistry is going to be typically with same day crowns in CEREC, outside of cosmetic work and whatnot, where we'll maybe still with CEREC, but it won't be same day. So for us, what that looks like is as soon as someone gets here, they're here for a week or two, and then they get shipped off to do some training with CEREC so that they can come back and be, you know, good to go. Now, you as a doctor could be the one that do it. You could have a team member do it. I've just found that I like standardizing it and sending them to go get formal training on, you know, how to run, operate the CEREC and do that, just because it becomes so foundational. Whereas this doctor, who's, you know, basically finished with her requirements and, you know, she'll be graduating in May, has done one CEREC crown. So, you know, that's kind of a reality check, I think, for a lot of dentists out there, is like, what, even if it's not CEREC, what that should tell you as a new graduating doctor is that it is literally a license to learn. Like, it is a license to go actually learn how to do it the appropriate way, or the way that, for some reason, dental schools have continued to stay, and that's not all of them, but the majority of dental schools have continued to stay behind the times in the way that we currently practice and do dentistry. And so there's going to be a ramp up period for that time period. So, and I'll kind of go back and forth because I'm a squirrel as it relates to just some logistical aspects of it and implementation. But that's one reason why we put all our associates on a 6-month daily guarantee, because we believe that that 6-month part of the process where they're coming in and learning is, I want them not to be worried about producing a crazy amount. I want them to be worried about learning to be good clinical dentists. Because as an owner doctor, the biggest thing that can hurt my reputation or that can hurt our business is to have a dentist come in here who's not doing that, not focusing on the clinical ability, just trying to produce. And they may throw up some big numbers for the practice, but that could be a lot of dentistry that I have to redo, a lot of bad experiences. So it's really important that that first 6 months is essentially like it's almost like a dating period, a trial period. And so they're on a daily guarantee at that point. Now, we do typically have them set up where they can bonus once they go above their daily guarantee, but I don't want them to feel the pressure to have to just produce in that regard. So if you're the dentist coming in, I've got to be willing to see what the practice needs. And I'll brag on Sarah, our newest hire, because Sarah has done this really, really well. Sarah came into a practice where there were already 5 dentists, 2 other general dentists essentially doing a lot of the same dentistry that she could do. And so instead of Sarah just being like, hey, I need to be fed, I need to get my production, or I would like to do cosmetics, or I would like to do all these fancy things my first 2 months out of school, Sarah basically said, where can I help you? Where can I help solve dental partners? Where can I help grow the practice? And that is what we want to hear as owners. Now, the caveat to that is I want to hear that. It needs to be genuine, because if your intention is to bait and switch, you get the job, well, that's not going to work out for either one of us. So Sarah did a really good job at coming in, being genuine, and saying, hey, it looks like obviously y'all don't do a lot of root canals, or you refer a lot of root canals out, so maybe this is a great opportunity. So we sent her to Kevin Fryer's endodontics course that he does at 3D Dentist. It's a really great course. And she got a good foundation in how to do endo, kind of the post-dental school way. And since May, like in her first 6 months, because she didn't get licensed till July, her first 6 months, she's done about 35 to 40 root canals. So talk about not only for herself, some good production that she's been had to add, but as far as hitting a practice need and giving herself somewhat of a niche, because every single one of those 35 root canals comes with what? A crown, by and large. So it's really been a great way for her to kind of grow her book of business, also help the practice. And so that's kind of what I would like to call win-win-win, where the owner doctor wins, the associate doctor wins, and the patient wins, because it's somewhere else they don't have to go, and they can get good quality work here. Piggybacking off that, if I had to use one word that would describe like what is the ideal relationship, or what sets the tone for the ideal relationship between a owner doctor and associate doctor, it's clarity, 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 clarity. It's setting expectations as to what they want to do, what they can do, what they can't do, and appropriate timelines to do things. That's really, really important. So I'll give you another example with Sarah. So Sarah comes to me. We kind of have like a 90-day review, and we're talking about like what's going well, what's not going well. And she said, hey, at some point I'd like to learn how to do implants. And I'm like, great. I would love for my associates to do implants. Like, that's a great idea. The challenge is I've got a new periodontist who's doing implants. My dad is doing implants. And then I have Dr. Amber, who we also sent to do implants last year. So I said, realistically, Sarah, the implant game is full for probably the next 18 months. So I said, I can be clear that I'm willing to invest in you, get you implant training, but it's probably realistically spring 2025 before we do that. So I just need to be upfront, honest with you so that you know, hey, you've got a year and a half to really start to taper in your skills, get better, continue to do what you're doing. And then that time will come where we'll be ready, you'll be ready, and it can be good. And she can now know, okay, there is a point in time where I can do this, but she's got clarity as far as where that is and what the expectation is. Because what I don't want to tell her is that, yes, definitely we can get that done, and then not set some sort of deadline or timeline to which that can happen, because then that's when it starts to be like, well, gosh, it may never happen. And so I think as owners, we've got to set good expectations on when and benchmark, so to speak, of when we can do things or not do things. And that may be even around CE, right? So if you're going to start to do cosmetic cases in our practice, for example, we're going to make sure that you go to our 3D treatment planning course, because I want to make sure that you're seeing dentistry and you're doing things at a cosmetic and aesthetic level that hit where we need to be as a practice. And so until you've kind of checked off that benchmark, we're not going to move into more cosmetic type cases where we're looking at doing 8, 10, you know, 12 types, crowns or veneers or restorations of that nature. Yeah, I hope this is kind of making sense. I think from an associate standpoint, the other parts of this that I would say is you got to come in and be willing to learn. I would want to know, what does mentorship look like? Like, that is the big buzzword that's overblown, not overblown. Like, mentorship in my practice is you can have as much of me, but you've got to be the driver of it. Because my schedule's gotten to the point where I'm just busy. All I want to do is education. I love it. Like I do the podcast. I do teach. I mean, I'm not working that much, but that doesn't mean that I'm just readily always available. So the people that succeed the most with me or get the most out of me are the squeaky wheels who make time to sit down with me, come find me, ask me to stay late, ask me to play in case, send me photos. So there's a little bit of that. The nature of is mentorship in my practice is unlimited. It's going to be driven by you. Now, we do have some level of like doctors meetings, and we try to have reviews. We do 30, 60, and 90 day with new doctors. Obviously, we'll do annual reviews, but we do 30, 60, 90 day check-ins to kind of see where things are at. And then we want to be doing daily, if not daily, weekly review, chart review of the dentistry that's being diagnosed, the dentistry that's being done. We expect post-op bite wings on all the fillings for at least the first couple months. Obviously post-op bite wings on crowns. So we're really trying to make sure that we standardize and have a good way of flow to make sure that there's a success. So that can feel like, as a new doctor, like I'm being checked on. And the answer is yes, we are checking on you. There's a lot of risk that goes into bringing someone into the family or into the fold to work with us. And so we want to make sure that's being done to the level of the care, because at the end of the day, you can leave. We can't leave. We can't leave our brand and what we've built and all of that that regard. Those would be some things that I think are important for the associate to do. And then again, owner doctor, you got to make time for that. What you can't do is you can't make them, and I've talked about this before, you can't make them the grunt. You can't make them doing the dentistry that only you don't want to do. If you do that, they'll leave. The flip side is you got to earn your stripes. Like, you can't just come in and expect the moon. I mean, you got to work for it. You got to grind. You got to do what, like T-Bone likes to say, you got to do what we did to get where we are. I get to do the dentistry I do now and practice in the way I practice now because I went through a period of time where I hustled, I grinded, I took more CE than anybody else I knew. I stayed late. I got there early. I was willing to put in the work to do that. So I think that has to be the mentality of what you come into the practice with. And then it's our job as the owner doctor to help give you the pathways to be successful. And so I do well with people who want to grow. It just has to be in a reasonable timeline with expectations and checks and balances along the way to get to where you want to go. What do we do when things don't start to go well with our associate? So let's talk about that. I feel like typically things start to go downhill or not go well when the communication stops. So when the line of communication stops, that's when I think problems get introduced. Now, what's interesting is the line of communication doesn't necessarily just mean verbally talking. I think one of the biggest lines of communication that breaks down is we stop having accountability for the dentistry that we're doing. So whether that's our diagnosis skills, meaning I'm not doing chart review to see, okay, new patient came in. This associate saw them. What did they see? What did they diagnose? What did the patient say yes to? I've got to be aligned with the doctor in those different categories. And maybe they're seeing a lot of dentistry, but they're not accepting a lot of dentistry. That's a problem. We got to talk to them about it. Maybe they're accepting a lot of dentistry, but it's not the dentistry you would recommend. That's a problem. We got to talk about it. So I think just as important as just verbal communication as far as how things are going within the practice is how we're diagnosing and communicating with the team in the same way. So that's an area where there's got to maintain a line of communication. Another one I think is important is helping them understand how to lead and coach team members. I've seen this a lot recently where it's just a different idea in how to coach a team member, especially if you've got a team member that's been doing it a while and a doctor who hasn't, that's a different vibe of interactions where you have this team member who's on some level like a leader, But the doctor wants to be a leader. There's a little ego there. So trying to kind of wade through that and help them kind of learn just the way that how valuable and important our team members are and kind of how they mesh into the fold. And then finally, obviously, we have to have tough conversations about just the quality and level of dentistry. So if we feel like something's not getting done, or there's too many remakes, or there's too many appointments, or we're running late, we've just got to continue to open line of communication. So I think this starts from day one. You've got to have daily check-ins, weekly check-ins. We've got to be reviewing this stuff. You've got to make it. There's a kind of a saying that I like to have in our office that's, I need people to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I need it. I need everyone to understand that we're coming from a place of, I want us all to be better. I want our team to be better. I want our patients to get better care. And so in order to level up, in order to move forward, I've got to know that my team is comfortable being uncomfortable, that I can give them feedback, that I can give them coaching, and they're not going to take it personally. And so I think trying to continue to maintain an open line of communication from the beginning is probably one of the biggest ways you can avoid having negative conversations or having to kind of have difficult conversations with your associate or any team member, but eventually they may or may not just have to happen because that's the nature of the beast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was just kind of a quick episode to talk about kind of what we're doing with associates, and I hope it was helpful. But otherwise, I hope you have a great day. And work smarter, not harder. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.